Yeah, yeah. So, Henry, I just had a chance, just got here to read the first draft of my price. Let me make three more suggestions. One, I don't think we ought to go into Vietnam in this speech. Second, I think that it's important not to go on and on about liberty and freedom and all that sort of thing. No use to throw that to them. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The other thing is, I think we should talk about our, something about our alliance in World War II, the great suffering of the Russian people in war. I think some sympathy about that should be shown. I think some of their other things, the words are fine. But the point being that they don't know America. We wish that they did. But I just want to tell them that I speak for the American people. I know our people. I know what they want in the world. We like our system, and you know we. But on the other hand, we're not trying to impose it on anybody else. But we want peace in the world. And, that means that great powers have a particular responsibility to use their influence to preserve peace, not to break it. And that we would like to have that kind of relationship with that I respect the Russian people as a great people, and let us sort of along those lines, you know. No, this speech is not for that purpose. It's, and it should be. The other thing is that, and this is always the weakness of the speechwriters, the Russians not only love, but have to have some anecdotal material. They just got to have a story or two, you see? And, well, no, what I mean is, if it relates to something that I've seen while I'm there, in other words, if you read my speech when I spoke in 1959, the most effective parts of it was when I referred to seeing Russian children and, you know, where they drew flowers in the car. And that's what I mean. No. I meant examples so that it relates to them rather than just cool, tough logic, you see. Our people just don't know how to... There needs to be Samarkand, 67, a Soviet citizen, with one leg gone. He'd lost in World War II, and he said, we want to be friends with America, or something like that. That's what we want. That's the kind of thing that he ought to put in. But, well, I don't want him to spend too much time on it, but if you can get them, it's not his fault, because he was flying blind, and he says so, but if you could sort of give him the feeling of... not too much substance, not too much. I don't think we ought to go into the rigmarole about we have an agreement on arms control, an agreement on trade, an agreement on. That's right. It's more in terms of saying, look, I'm an American, the first one on an official visit to this great country. I wouldn't slobber over too much. I'd be very proud of what we stand for. But on the other hand, I would say that we respect you. We want you to respect us. We can assure you on peace, but peace is not something that we have simply by being for it. That we have to act responsibly through the world. And, in our relations with small nations and others, and respect all other peoples in the world. Sort of an in, so we say something to China at the same time. See? That's right. Yeah. Yeah, it's the first steps, but I would say that it means that the great nations, you know what I mean? Well, that's sort of there now, the thing, but if you could get Ray back on that tack, well, that'd be fine. And, as you may have made most of it already, but those are my reactions, and I just didn't want him to get bogged down in some of the things that we know we don't want to, we can't use. Oh, yeah. They can't now, anyway. It's too late. Well, if they can, but they're then they're proving that they're utterly stupid. And if they're utterly stupid, we could be smart. But with regard to these talks, it would be helpful when you're talking to Brennan if we worked it out, if we did it sort of in lines of subject by subject. What I meant is that I don't have to prepare each one. See, then I can brush up on a certain subject rather than read all three. See, you've got four books up here on issues now, and I, you know, I can't read four books before each meeting. See my point? That's right. And what I was going to say is that what you might do then, you and Sonnenfeld, he's obviously done a lot of this with me since you're telling him it's just a brilliant job, it's an excellent job. But the point is, whoever worked on it, anyway, yeah, Lord, well, anyway, I would think that if we did that, then before each meeting, you could have one of them go through the talking points there and even boil it down more, say, these are the things they'll bring up, things you should emphasize. So that I, because the mental, you mean, I can retain most of this and I can fly blind pretty well, but it will help me very much to have it done that way. Now, yeah, all right, good. Have you told Brennan to call on Rogers? Oh, he's going to come back and call on you. Good. And he's told him so. Good.
I think we have to recognize we have a totally different
relationship with Brezhnev and Gromyko and myself and Rush. Brezhnev does rely on Gromyko, and the main thing reason is Gromyko does not try to upstage. He does what he's told, and does a hell of a lot. And so I hope that Brennan understands the difference in the relationship, does he? Yeah.
Particularly since we're having the plenaries. Yeah, and I put it all in the Russians. That's the way they want it.